minds, which is talking about who we are, right? So I'm excited about today. I'm excited you're here. I welcome you online or in person. And I just want you to know that you matter. I know that what the Lord's doing is special. What you're being here and me and all that's happening is really special. So I can't get off of this. I just cannot get off of it. I think we could spend the rest of our lives actually looking at the birth of Jesus. And I showed that to my art director, Camille, and she said, "That's sort of creepy." And I'm like, well, that's the way we made things in the 70s, you know. Clay, you remember the clay figures we used to watch on Saturday Night Live? Those of you that are pagans like I was, they look like that. It was sort of comforting to me. I didn't know it was creepy. It represents Jesus and Mary and the manger. And we're looking at that again today. But before we go there, because you do realize that this was a culmination of thousands of years of God's plans. Before time, he and Jesus had a plan, right? That's what the scriptures tell us. And you can trust the scriptures to speak the truth. So here's something. This is a statement that I've been living by, trying to live by for 25 years. I didn't come up with this. I copied it from somebody. You can read along with me. What you finally achieve in your life will clearly depend on the decisions you make now and the actions you take to implement those decisions. God captured my heart with this statement before I even knew what he was talking about. It's true. We're not victims. From this day forward, what you finally achieve will depend upon the decisions you make now and the actions you take to implement those decisions. I just want to put that in your head. What we see when we look at the manger scene was what happened, a decision Holy Spirit, God the Father, and Jesus the Son made before anything was created. And then they took actions, and they took actions, and they took actions. And then this day happened. And it was a very, very special day, right? And so I've been talking about this, and I've been thinking about it. I was ready to go on to the verse I've been aiming at for 4 or 5 weeks now, but the Lord said, Alan, actually the Holy Spirit just put it in my heart, said, you skipped something. I was like, oh, okay. He said, you need to slow down, right? We understand we need to live present. We've gotten words from the Lord about that. Don't just live, live present. Live conscious, aware of where you're at and what's happening around you. And the Lord said, Alan, you hurried through that. You need to back up. And I said, oh, how far do I need to back up? Like, Genesis? I'm good. He said, how about Luke 1? I'm like, oh, thank you, Lord. I can do Luke 1. So I want to look at, because I really do, it's really true. And he caught my attention with this verse. Because I was trying to go on, and I read this verse, Luke 2:41, out of the Passion Translation. Every year, Jesus' parents went to worship at Jerusalem during the Passover festival. Do you realize every year means every year? That every year, that young man and that young woman were faithful with what they knew from the Lord. They were faithful. And the Lord said, Alan, what you finally achieve in your life depends upon the decisions you make now and whether you're faithful with those decisions. Maybe it doesn't depend on us being perfect or us being all-knowing or us being whatever this picture is you have in your mind of success. Maybe the future depends upon your faithfulness with what God's given you. Now, I told in the meeting before the worship this morning, I told the staff, I said, listen, I'm preaching to myself today, not even to the choir. The decisions we make now, are we being faithful? Could your faithfulness be actually what's going to determine the final outcome? And I just want to look at, and he said, go back to Luke 1. So I said, okay, God, We're going to read some scripture this morning, and I'm going back to it because I believe we should. But this didn't just happen out of anywhere. It was God's faithfulness to a decision He made before time was created. And it came one day. And the whole, for 2,000 years, we've been celebrating this day. But we need to realize there were a lot of thousands and thousands of days that led up to this day. So here's the first scripture I want to look at. And this is talking about, this is Luke chapter 1. I'll start in verse 5. We won't do the whole thing. I don't want to bore you to death. Don't admit you get bored with scripture. That would just break my heart. I love scripture. So when I'm bored, I read scripture. So, during the reign of King Herod the Great over Judea, there was a Jewish priest named Zechariah who served in the temple as part of the priestly order of Abijah. His wife Elizabeth was also from a family of priests, being a direct descendant of Aaron. They were both lovers of God, living virtuously and following the commandments of the Lord. But they were childless since Elizabeth was barren. And now both were quite old. You see, during that time, there were 20,000 priests in Israel at that time. And you know, they rolled dice, right, to see who got to be the priest that went into the Holy of Holies. And the odds were that was a once-in-a-lifetime thing for a priest. And they cast lots, is what they called it back then. They cast lots, and that whoever got picked got to go in. And Zechariah was already old, and he had never been in. And his name came up that day. And y'all know the story. You remember what happened. One day, while Zechariah's priestly order was on duty and he was serving, it happened by the casting of lots that the honor fell upon Zechariah. It was the most honor you'd ever receive as a priest. Now, this man had been faithful for decades, 20, 30, 40, 50 years, we don't know, a long time, and he had never got the honor of being able to go into the Holy of Holies. And so this day he got to go. And a large crowd of worshipers had gathered to pray outside the temple at the hour when the incense was being offered. And all at once, you see, I think we think all at once has happened just out of nowhere. They just fall from the sky. No, all at once has happened to us while we are being faithful with what we know. Amen. What's God's word to you? What's His promise to you? What's He put in your heart? Are you being faithful? You see, Zechariah was faithful, even though they never had a child. Their greatest desire never happened for decades. As a matter of fact, you're about to find out. This angel came and he appeared to him, standing just to the right of the altar of incense. And Zechariah was startled. He was overwhelmed with fear. But the angel reassured him, saying, "Don't be afraid, Zechariah. God is showing grace to you. For I have come to tell you that your prayer that you and your wife have given up on, that one, you remember that prayer? What has God put in your heart that you've given up on?" You see, God knew, He remembered. They'd been praying and praying for a child. And now his wife, Elizabeth, is past the age of childbearing. You know, in those days, they blamed everything on the woman. You know, probably Zechariah was past the age of childbearing too, if you know what I mean. Your wife, Elizabeth, will bear you a son, and you are to name him John. And his birth will bring you joy and gladness. And many will rejoice because of him. He will be one of the great ones in the sight of God. And he'll drink no wine or strong drink, but he will be filled with the Holy Spirit, even while still in his mother's womb. You see, I think we think about this, what God is showing us today, what I want to put in your heart today, that statement really is true. I don't know why God put that statement. I've had it on my computer, on the desktop of my computer, on a document for 25 years. What you finally achieve in your life will clearly depend on the decisions you make now and the actions you take to implement those decisions. I could have just said, what you finally achieve will depend upon you being faithful. It's the most powerful thing on earth. Are you being faithful with what God's put in your heart? You see, Zechariah and Elizabeth were disappointed, but there was a baby waiting to be born that they carried. It was theirs. I believe that what God's put in our hearts, those dreams, those visions, those desires, those the purpose of our life, that those things are dependent upon our faithfulness with what we're doing now. You see, when I look back, and we're all, you know, we're part of the, we've always been part of the cutting edge church, you know. It's like I was in a church where worship wasn't allowed, and we were going to worship no matter what the cost, and we'd worship. And then I was in a church where and maybe it was this church, where we were going to be demonstrative in worship. Ugh, okay, we're going to do that. We're cutting edge. Everybody thinks we're a cult. Everybody's talking about us. We're going to do it. And then I was in a church that started believing in miracles. I was in a church that started believing in raising the dead. It's like all of these things, right? All of these things God is birthing in us. What is it God's got for you? You see, Zechariah and Elizabeth had no idea that that baby that they wanted was going to proclaim the coming of the king, that he was going to be the Elijah that prepared Israel's heart for Jesus, the Messiah's coming. They had no idea. They just wanted a baby. That's all he was to them, was a baby. You see, a lot of times I think the things God puts in our hearts, we have no comprehension of how big a deal it is to the ultimate kingdom coming on earth. And I believe every one of our parts is that big. I think God has called us to things, you know, because you look at them. They were faithful, even though they weren't rich. They weren't noteworthy. He was one of 20,000 priests. I mean, my goodness, how special is that? When everybody you turn around is a priest in that town, it looked like. It's not that special. It's almost like, you know, I watch young people, which now is anybody under 50, that we all do the same thing to be unique. It's like when I was young, everybody had long hair because that made you unique. Then you look around, everybody I was in high school with had long hair. And then, you know, if you were like a cowboy, you had a silver buckle and cowboy boots and straight leg jeans. It's like, they're so special. You're the only one out of 300 of those people. You know, it's like that, right? It's like there was nothing special about Zechariah and Elizabeth. Nothing. They were normal people. What was special about them is they remained faithful, even in a dead church. Listen, the Jewish church at that day, the Jewish synagogues, the Judaism was at the peak of religious bondage and meanness. They're the ones who sent Paul out to arrest Christians and have them thrown into prison and killed. They're the ones who stoned Stephen. This is who they were worshiping with. But it didn't matter to them. They remained faithful no matter what it looked around them. Guys, I just want to ask you, are you being faithful with what God's given you? They were. They were faithful to the church, to the place where God planted them. And I think it's such a big deal. And you know what's interesting? They believed in what they were doing with no evidence that anything special was happening. Guys, that's hard. That's hard. For you, for me, for anybody. And then, you know what? God asked them to do something that was going to cost them. Like, it was going to cost them. Not for just a day. I mean, having a baby is bad enough when you're 70 years old. That's enough, right? Your first child, or however 60. I don't know how old she was. That's bad enough. It's worse raising a kid at that age. You know how much time and energy it takes to raise a baby? Poor Elizabeth, did you see her having morning sickness when she's 75? It's unbelievable. Gosh, listen, for you to fulfill your destiny, for you to be faithful, it's going to cost you, and not just for one day. That's easy. But what if it's going to cost you for weeks? You know what? How long did Elizabeth serve God, faithfully love Him with all of her heart, even though she was barren? She was looked down on. Now, nobody knew that God had a plan. She didn't know it. Like, oh, Elizabeth, just as soon as you get past the age of childbearing, it's going to happen, Elizabeth. But until then, you're going to suffer for following me. Emotionally, in her society, in her day, to be barren. I mean, there was no fruit in her life. That's the way her culture looked at it. How do people look at you? How they look at me? You know, we have a dream for this 10 acres. Camille walked to my office and saw the, Tommy, Would you get that picture? Take Dan with you and get that picture off the wall that we put up. Tommy helped me hang a picture last week. And Camille had never seen it. My granddaughter, her name comes up fairly often because she asks questions all the time. But you see, what about if the way it looks, you look like you're not having any fruit? And so there's no affirmation. There's no validation. There's nothing to be proud about. Elizabeth, you should be so proud. You've been serving God all these years and you ain't got squat to show for it. Right? She didn't even have a baby. And in their culture, children were a sign of God's blessings on you. It was a big deal to be barren for her world. And so we know what that's like. Do you know what it's like? They'd given up on it, but they still remained faithful, but they gave up. And I think it's a big deal. Have you given up disappointment can cause bitterness, and giving up means you don't like being bitter, you don't like being upset, you don't like feeling that way, and so you just give up and write it off. I'm not going to dream about that anymore. I'm not going to bother heaven anymore about this. I would rather give up. And it's bitterness and it's hurt. Yeah, would you bring it up here, Tommy? Thank you. Listen, we have Vanna White show up every week. Last week it was Dan. And Jessica, you gave Dan walking lessons. You need to work with Tommy. He's walking like a man. Come up here. You guys won't be able to see this. I didn't plan on this, or I would show it on the overhead. This is something we drew before we built the building. We had a dream. Hold it up higher so they can see it. Yeah, they don't have to look at you either. And this is our current building, this building here. It's still the only building we have. But we have dreams of more. We have dreams of greenhouses. We have dreams of a wellness center, a counseling center, a nutrition center, playgrounds for kids. Turning this building, this whole building, into an education facility and maybe something else, and then building another sanctuary, this one just for being a sanctuary. And then we want some housing we can help put people up in. We'd love that. All right, good, Tommy. Thank you. Say goodbye. So Camille asked me, what's that picture? Good job, Tommy. Thank you. She said, what's that picture? I said, oh, that's our dream. Well, Pops, how long have you been doing this? 20 years. Are you disappointed? Tempted. Have you given up on that? Tempted. Have you become bitter? No, I can be bitter and smile. Just, you don't want to be in my head. You see, the enemy wants you to give up. Because it hurts. You think... Don't look, that's not just two sentences in the whole Bible about Zechariah and Elizabeth. Their son heralded, he made the way for Jesus to come. He baptized the Son of God. They had no idea what they were suffering for 80 years, or however long it was. And then, can you imagine after they had that kid? Some of you are parenting grandparents. They were probably parenting great-grandparents. It's tough. This morning, God wants to encourage you. Be faithful. It's not over. You don't know what your children's children's children are, the spiritual children. You don't know what the seed you're planting today is going to turn into in 100 years, 200 years. You have no idea. They didn't know. This morning, I think God wants to encourage you. Do you want the key to being success in life is being faithful with where God has put you? Faithful. Okay, we're going to pray about that at the end. Because I believe that some of us are struggling with this. We're struggling. And I believe God has a word for you today. He has a word for you. He's going to encourage your heart this morning, okay? So, let's go on. So, I love that picture, even though it is creepy. Luke chapter 1, verse 26. Then something else happened. So guess who else was faithful before anything happened? During the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, the angel Gabriel, who was sent from God's presence to an unmarried girl named Mary. You see, she was engaged to a man named Joseph, a true descendant of King David. Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Grace to you, young woman, for the Lord is with you. And so you are anointed with great favor." Now, I don't know about you, but I'd be just like Mary, like, "Oh, Lord, what's about to happen?" You know? I'm like, I see this coming. I'm going to need great favor is what you're saying. Whatever's about to happen, I'm going to need some help here. And then God gave her this amazing gift. You get to be pregnant before you get married in a culture that stones women who do that. God bless you. Has that what your blessing's been like? Like Mary's? You know? It's not easy. Your journey is not easy. Mary's journey wasn't easy. And I read that and I'm like, listen, you know what happens? You know what happens? God has put something in your heart and you've been following, faithfully following that, and you see that it's not bearing fruit. You're still barren, like Elizabeth. And you know what happens? We just start drawing back a little. We quit believing. We quit pursuing. We don't mention it anymore. And we still are faithful to the Lord, but we draw back. You know what got Elizabeth and Zechariah back in the game? God did. To get back in the game, you need to hear from God. First, you need to change your mind and agree with Him. He asks nothing from you but your faithfulness, which is a relationship with Him. That's what He asks from us. He's the one who brings the babies. He's the one who brings them. And it's not over. It's not over. So during that 6 month, Gabriel came, "Grace to you, young woman. You're going to be pregnant without getting married." And she was scared, and the angel reassured her. Gabriel said, "Do not yield to your fear, Mary. Fear is the devil. Fear is the wrong spirit. Fear will get you pregnant too, just like the Holy Spirit will get you pregnant. But the babies you'll have coming from fear are going to bring death into your life and to everybody around you." He said, "Don't give in to fear. The Lord's found delight in you and has chosen to surprise you with a wonderful gift. You'll become pregnant with a baby boy. You're to name him Jesus. He will be supreme and will be known as the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will enthrone him as king on his ancestor David's throne. He will reign as king of Israel and reign. His reign will have no limit." And Mary said, "How could this happen? I'm still a virgin." And y'all know the rest of that story, right? Y'all know what happened. Mary did. She said, "Yes, Lord, may it be unto me as you've said." See, but even after you say that, you still have a journey. Mary still had a journey. As a matter of fact, the hardest part of her journey came after she said yes. She needed God's strength. She needed His favor to be able to endure her culture, her family, the pain, everything involved with that. Her husband's, God did a miracle in Joseph. He took her in and raised Jesus as His own son. That was a huge sacrifice. You know that your journey, faithfulness requires sacrifice. You do understand that. Sacrifice. Well, not real sacrifice. Oh, yeah? You know who was greatest born among men before Jesus? His name was John, his cousin, John the Baptist, Zechariah and Elizabeth's boy. He was a great man of God. Great, great man. That's what the scriptures say. Herod's daughter asked for John's head on a platter when he was in prison, and they went in and cut his head off and put it on a plate and gave it to Herod. You might say John sacrificed. He did. And he was great in God's eyes. You see, it takes sacrifice to be faithful. It takes sacrifice to be faithful. And the Lord sees it, and it's a pleasant aroma to Him. It's an incense that comes up to Him. And it's the greatest thing you'll ever do, is sacrificing for Him. So then Joseph and Mary were faithful, right? They were faithful. They were just two young people. They had nothing. They were nothing. They never did anything. But Joseph raised that boy. He took the ridicule, he took the verbal abuse, he took it all. And he worked every day, he sweated in that carpenter shop, and he raised that child. Year after year, day after day, month after month. And Joseph stayed faithful to that religious community that tried to kill him, who tried to kill his son. He stayed faithful to what he knew. You know, sometimes we get dissatisfied with what we know and we don't remain faithful because we're dissatisfied. You need to stay faithful. I've got to stay faithful to what God's put in my heart. He's given me this direction. I'm going to be faithfully follow that. But what if you're wrong? It's not about being wrong. It's about being faithful. Living by faith. That's what faithful is. It's faith. I've got faith that following Jesus is going to bring life and it's going to set captives free. So Joseph and Mary, they were faithful. And then this next part we're going to get to is every year, and it says in verse 40, you see, you don't realize that what you're doing may be raising someone else. You see, Joseph and Mary were sacrificing. They were faithful to who they were. They were parents. They were employees. They worked at Yoda's shop. They were faithful to what God put in front of them. And in the midst of their faithfulness, they were raising a young man who has become the Messiah, the Savior of the world. And the Bible says Jesus grew. It says right there in verse 42. Actually, it's in 40. And the child grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom and the grace of God was on him. Their sacrifice really gave us life. Their faithfulness impacted all of history. Do you know that your faithfulness is impacting the world? Your faithfulness is impacting your children and your children's children. And I love that song we sang where we bless our children and our children's children and for generations. The truth is that happens when we're faithful with what God's put in our hearts. I'm going to serve you, God, even though I know these songs aren't really perfect. I'm going to serve you, Lord, even though I know even what I'm teaching is not perfect. Lord, I'm going to follow you because I believe in what you're doing. It's called faithfulness. Now, every year, Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the festival of the Passover. This was after they had to go to Egypt because the Jewish people killed every child two and under after Jesus was born. They had to leave Israel and go to Egypt. God sent them there. And then they came back and they went right back to the temple. Every year, Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the festival of the Passover, which was a huge sacrifice for them. Huge sacrifice. And then it says in verse 42, when he was 12 years old, they went up to the festival according to the custom. Well, I don't want to do anything that's customs. Good thing they did. Because we're about to find out what happened there. And y'all know the story. You can read it and catch up on it if you don't remember. It's in Luke chapter 4, chapter 2, verse 43. Are you being faithful? Are we remaining faithful to the revelation that God's given us? Now, okay, if faithfulness is that big of a deal, where do we get faithfulness? That's a rhetorical question, because I have the answer. Yeah, Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit, the fruitfulness that brings faithfulness, is a relationship with Jesus. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. You see, we can't generate that. That comes through your relationship with Him. But when you have a relationship with Him, He will birth a power, a strength, a desire, an insight that will give you the strength to stand firm and be faithful even in the midst of a storm. Even in the midst of boringness. Even in the midst of what the world says is ho-hum and mundane and boring and average. God says, I'll give you the strength to be faithful because I've got something coming. There's something going to be born out of your faithfulness that's going to change the world. And I think sometimes we're Americans, we're so short-sighted. I'm not willing to be happy about where I am because I haven't seen the birth yet. Well, I got another thing. Then we're going to close. You see, I believe nature shows a lot of stuff. You know, some of the most seed actually requires a change of seasons before a seed will sprout. A lot of seed has to go through a dormant time, and then there's a spring that comes where the seed will sprout. Some things are put in the ground for years, years and years and years. And then when the conditions are right, that seed will come up. You see, I believe the same thing's true in our world, in the spiritual realm, in your realm. It's like we want the thing to sprout now, and God says, wait, you've got to go through the winter. There has to be a rainy season, there has to be a cold season, there has to be a dormant season, and then it's going to grow. And we in America, we don't think 300 years down the road. God does. And we don't think that we're important because we haven't seen the seed sprout yet. You know, don't you hate, look, you got to hate this. That's really not a good thing to say. This is always something hard for us to understand. Luke chapter 3, verse 23. Jesus, assumed to be Joseph's son, was about 30 years old when he began his ministry. The Son of God had to wait till he was 30 before he got started publicly. I mean, some of us aren't willing to wait 3 months. And then, now this is what will get you. Because in the scriptures you see this a lot. Here are the names of Mary's ancestors. From her father, traced all the way back to Adam. Let's read it. Y'all don't have to read it out loud. I'll try to pronounce them. Eli, Mathat, Levi, Melchi, Janai, Joseph, Mattathias, Amos, Nahum, Isli, Nagai, Math, Moth, Mattathias, Seaman. They're sort of... Sorry. Joseph, Jodah, Joannon, Reza, Zerubbabel, Shealtiel, Neri, Melchi, Adai, Kosam, Elmadam, Joshua, I got that one, Eleazar, Eleazar, Joram, Matat, Levi, Simeon, Judah, Joseph, Jonam, Eliakim, Meli, Mina, we're not done, Matha, Nathan, David, y'all remember him, Jesse, Obed, Boaz, Salmon, Nashon, Aminadab, Arnie, Hezron, Perez, Judah, Jacob, Isaac, Abraham, Terah, Nahor, Serug, Reu, Peleg, Eber, Shela, Kenan, Arphaxad, Shem, Noah, Lamech, Methuselah, Enoch, Jared, Mahalalel, Canaan, Enos, Seth, and Adam, who was created by God. My goodness, there's 75 names there. What, we should cut some out, because who can read that much, right? Well, can't we just cut a few? Well, I cut one. Y'all didn't even notice. I took one out. There's a guy there named Admin, like administration. His name's Admin. He's between Aminadab and Arnie. Y'all didn't even know I cut him out. That's how important you are. Cut one out. Cut one out of 75. We don't have the Lord. We don't have Mary. See, we're Americans. We want everything in microwave, pressure cooker, cook, whatever you call those things. Cook fast. Actually, this is just Brian already cooked. You're that important to the Lord. The enemy is trying to take us out. I don't know if it'll be my lifetime when we see those things happen here at Grace. I don't know. That doesn't matter to me anymore. I'm going to be faithful. Well, you're just going to be admin. Yeah, take me out. Guys, let's get back up and get back in the fight. Amen. Let's get back up by faith and believe that your part matters and everybody before us matters. Just like, and so we don't need to read over these names and think it's not a big deal. Every name there's a big deal. We know about a handful of them because God gave more explanation about their lives, but most of them we don't know anything. You know, so the first thing we need to do is agree with God. Amen. That's called repentance. That's called, God, you think differently about me than I think about me. And God, I want to think the way you think. I don't want to back up. I don't want to quit dreaming, even though I've never seen the fruit in my heart. I still faithfully trust you. I believe in you. Amen. I believe. Amen. So let's all stand up. And I just want to encourage you today. You see, the story is still being written. Amen. I mean, those people, for 75 people, they didn't know. They thought they might have been the last one. They didn't know. You see, our stories are still being written. The kingdom of God is still being written. What's it going to take? It's going to take faithfulness from us. Whatever God's put your hand in, be faithful. Whatever He's put in your heart, be faithful. Whatever dream He's given you, be faithful. Whatever gifting He's given you, be faithful with it. And when you're faithful, the purposes of God will come true. So this morning, I believe, just like me, I've had to work through some of this stuff. I've had to come to places where I'm like, God, you know, it's been 30 years. God's not asking me to have fruit. He's asking me to have faith. So this morning, if you're struggling with that, it could be something physical, it could be in the spiritual, it could be in, I don't know what it is in your life. But if you're struggling with that, you need a word from the Lord. Just like Zechariah and Elizabeth, they needed to hear from Gabriel. Now Zechariah, he had a hard time. He didn't believe Gabriel. And Gabriel said, I'll give you a sign. You won't talk between now and when your son is born. How about that? I suggest just repent and trust God. Don't challenge God. Just believe if he's put it in your heart, it's his plan. And let's be faithful with that. So this morning, I believe God has a word for you. If you're like me and maybe like Zechariah and Elizabeth, they'd given up on ever having a baby. But they remained faithful. I believe God wants to give you a word this morning. So the prayer team's up here. They want to pray with you. And let God do something. You need God. Amen. So do I, right? So let's pray. So Father, I just thank you for this morning. I thank you for having me go back to chapter 1 in Luke again. And God, I just pray for us, God, that you would be the source of our faithfulness. God, we need you. God, we need your power. We need your impact in our lives. And God, we just choose to believe that you have a plan and a purpose and a destiny for every single one of us. So this morning, Lord, I just ask you for your presence, that you would come. So just let the Lord come right now. Just let him come. Thank you, Father. So Holy Spirit, I ask you to come now. So this morning, the Lord wants to say something to you. And he really is. He says, come to me, all your burden and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Amen. He's where it comes from. Amen. Pat, you got a word?
I think it's really significant what God's saying this morning. And this week, for the first time in a whole long time, the Lord just birthed in me a desire to see that building and all of the stuff here on our land come forth. I don't think it's a coincidence that the same week that he's speaking to Alan and others. And I feel like the Lord was saying that there's people here that have dreams that God's given you, but you have just kind of felt like God's given up on you. Or you've given up on your own dreams. But I think this is a really big day today, a special day, some of those days where the Holy Spirit says, this is it. This is one of those kind of really cool things that I can do and show you how big I am. But I feel like there's these prayer teams that God's going to use them today to help stir up and revitalize those dreams. Because I really feel there's a lot of people that have said, God, I had a dream, but I don't have it anymore. Or I don't think that you have that dream for me. Or that was just me. Pray about it. Let them pray with you. Because I think it's huge. I really do. And I think it's really significant that God starts to lay on our hearts, different people, that, hey, I haven't given up on the dream for grace. I haven't given up on all of these different things that I laid on the hearts of those leaders to birth at Grace Fellowship. And God, and for all of us to take our part and say, okay, God, how can I be a part of that? Can we begin to just proclaim? When we were in school, our president of our Bible college said, we're going to build a gym, and we're going to have a chapel, and we're going to do this. And he said, listen real close, and you can hear the basketballs bouncing. Well, guess what? 2 years later, we had a gym, we had a chapel, we had all the things. So don't give up on the dreams, and just ask the Lord to show you, God, what is it that I need to do by faith to take steps to see those dreams happen in my life?
Amen. Come on, Pat. I was going to give Pat. Thank you, Pat. Do you need help asking the Lord for help this morning? But Pat, come here for just a second. Come closer. Look that way. Okay. Now just bend at the waist like you were going to bow to somebody. Just stay there, Pat. Do you need help getting help this morning? If you need somebody to give you a quick... good, quick, swift kick in the derriere. I'm not good. That means God's got something for you. Don't let doubt dictate or fear dictate your life. God's good. He's got something for you this morning. It may be one of these guys. Maybe somebody else in here needs to pray with you. But God's got a good word for you. He really does. Amen. Thank you. God bless you guys. Thanks, Tommy.